I've been a haunted man for 13 years, and I put the blame squarely on Tiny Tim's crooked little shoulders. It was December 1990, and I had just finished rereading A Christmas Carol. Inspired by Tiny's exultant prayer, "God bless us, everyone," I decided that I, too, would have a proper Christmas dinner. The next day, I marched into my local butcher shop in Brooklyn and ordered a goose. Luigi, a short, rotund man who had a stand on a milk crate to talk to his customers, leaned over the meat case and cocked an eyebrow. "Have you ever made a goose before?" "Please, plenty of times," I replied, even though the only experience I had cooking fowl was microwaving Swanson turkey dinners. On Christmas Day, I awoke early to prepare the goose. To ensure a moist bird, I tucked pats of butter under its skin, then slid it into the oven. After several hours, I checked to see if the magic thermometer had popped up, signaling the goose was done. But I couldn't find one. Anywhere. I yanked the goose out of the oven, sloshing a tsunami of melted fat on the floor. I turned the bird over and over, looking for that confounded popper. Just then, the doorbell rang. I returned the goose to the oven and hoped for the best. As my five guests sipped Diet Coke and nibbled from an artfully arranged platter of Doritos and Lipton onion dip, I excused myself and ran back into the kitchen. I returned, ushering everyone to their seats. I placed the goose on the table and began carving. But every time I sliced, I hit bone. No matter what angle I tried, the knife simply slid off. "So much for Christmas is coming, the goose is getting fat," I tried to joke, as I strip-mined the bird for meat with a fork. Eventually, I gave up and divided the two legs among six plates. My guests looked down at their pitifully small portions and smiled weakly. After everyone left, I cleaned up. Furious, I grabbed the platter and flipped the goose into the trash. And there, staring up at me, were two perfectly plump breasts. In my frantic search for the magic thermometer, I had turned the goose upside down and laid a card from its scrawny, meatless back. In the intervening years, I'm happy to report that I have become a whiz at roasting, except goose. Last week, while visiting Danny Pring, a Connecticut neighbor, I recounted my tale. "And you haven't made a Christmas goose since?" she bellowed. An expat from England who's blessed with an alto's lungs and cursed with a hearing problem, Danny clocks in at a decibel level just below that of a Boeing 747. "Nope," I said. "Well, next weekend, we're marching into your kitchen, and I'm going to show you how it's done properly," she announced. The day of our lesson, Danny burst into my kitchen with her arms filled with bottles, scraps of papers, herbs, and two roasting pans. "Look," she said, waving a carving fork that would do the Marquis de Sade proud. "For inflicting the jabs, you have to prick the goose all over to drain the fat," she added. I took the bird from the refrigerator, and Danny trundled over, cooing, "My, that is a proper Christmas goose, David." She took it from me, then she stood as if in a trance. "Danny, what's wrong?" I asked. She put her fingers to her lips, lowered her head, then said softly, well, softly for Danny, "Now's the time to think of all the people who have ever borne a grudge against you, and you go for it." With that, she descended upon the bird with her carving fork. To judge from the ferocity of her stabs and the contentment on her face, my guess was she was fantasizing about Tony Blair. When she was done, she leaned against the counter and trumpeted, "Boy, was that cathartic!" She looked like a boxer who had just won a prize fight. "So what's next?" I asked. She slipped the bird in the oven. "Well, you sit here and mind Goosey, and I'll be back in a couple of hours." "What? Why?" I asked. She looked at me as if I were daft. "I'm knackered," she said. And with that, she tromped out the back door. "The directions are on the table," she barked from her car. Without Danny there to guide me, I was immediately haunted by the goose of Christmas past. I riffled through her scraps of paper. One read that the bird needed to be turned three times. "Turned," I said aloud. another red, drain the fat. But when? Visions of snickering guests danced in my head. Still, I knew that if I didn't face this bete noir head-on, I'd probably develop a severe tic every time I was served foie gras. So I made some quick calculations and estimated when to turn the goose and poured off fat several times, lest there be another flood. When I removed the goose, it was nothing like the catastrophe I had wrought in my youth. It was a beautiful mahogany color with a crackly, crispy crust. One last hurdle, though, before I could be free of my demons. I poked the top of the bird. Yes! Just as I thought. It was a lovely, juicy breast. 20 minutes later, Danny muscled through the door. When she saw the goose, her face clouded over. She leaned in close, inspecting. She tilted the bird one way, then the other. Finally, she said, "Brilliant, David!" I beamed. She transferred the bird to a platter and held it aloft. "Behold the goose!" she crowed. Then she thrust her chin toward the dining room. "Now, good God, let's eat!" Tiny Tim himself couldn't have said it better.